All right. Well, good morning, folks. It's July 5th, a day after the 239th anniversary of our Declaration of Independence in this country. Our country didn't start until a little bit later, actually, from the Declaration. So they say our country's 239 years old. Well, that's when the Declaration was made. That is not necessarily when the Constitution was created or anything like that, but it is still a worthwhile thing to remember, seeing as how it was the only document of the founding fathers that was written that mentioned God. We are endowed by our Creator with certain inalienable rights, as Jim mentioned earlier. So it's neat in that it references that and references the reason why they stood so much upon liberty, because they thought that was something God had granted men. Of course, we know how He can do that. Since in the Bible, actually, God gave a law to Israel, and so there was a thought in the monarchies and the governments of history, even Christian countries, that God gave their king the right to rule of law according to the Scripture. And so where did this idea of liberty come from, an individual right? Well, that is a grace teaching, actually, where Christ dies for men's sins and gives us liberty from the law. And so that is something we find in Paul's epistles, and it's only when that's understood and taught, all the scope of Scripture is taught, the law and the grace, when we can have freedom reigning. A lot of the founding fathers are known to have said that without religion, restraining men's morality, we cannot have freedom. And of course, they spoke that from either a deistic perspective or from the perspective of a religionist, not necessarily a grace believer, but it is true that the only thing that can change men is grace, and laws cannot. And so there is a rule of law in the Bible, and there's God's law that Paul says that he's under, but we as a church are not preaching the law. We're not under the law of condemnation. We're under grace, and grace is what changes men from being sinners to saints, and grace is what motivates people to live right. And so there's a place for that, and churches, I think, need to teach more grace. First, to see souls saved, and secondly, it will evoke change in people. When you have the law, what you get is a condemnation of people, and you have then a creation of hypocrisy and a front, a face, a facade of that we are better than what we really are. Grace actually is more honest in that way, and yet it also changes you from the inside out. So it's a good thing to talk about that, to sing about it. Yesterday I wrote about that, which is why we sang that song this morning. To the tune of America the Beautiful, God shed His grace on thee, is on the original song, where people look at the prosperity of America, which is what the song's about. You look at the beauty and the prosperity and the heroes and the patriots in America, and they say that God has blessed us in such a way. So thus the song said, God shed His grace on thee. I read that differently. I don't know how people think about that. Some people read that and think, well, the song means God has blessed us. I read that and say, we need God's grace. God shed His grace on the almost request, a prayer, because we need that, especially in light of all of the prosperity that we have had the last couple hundred years. So it's interesting. We changed some of the lyrics and sang the song this morning. We may put that in the grace hymnal. But it's good what we're doing here for our country, even if thought from that regard. Any questions or thoughts about July 4th? Any issues from yesterday? It's one of the few days that is a holiday that people do not give spiritual significance to. We talk here about the church not being a keeper of days, specifically religious days. Sabbath days, Christmas is not in the Bible, but people give it a spiritual, and Easter, and they give it spiritual significance. And so we talk against giving a day spiritual significance, is what we're talking about from Paul's doctrine. And yet there are days in that our country and the world observes that are not spiritually significant, or they give credence to religion. Those days being Thanksgiving, things like Memorial Day, July 4th, Father's Day, we recently observed, things like that. And these are just days of memory or days of drawing attention to certain things. And there's nothing in the Scripture that says that is sinful, that is wrong. The problem, of course, is when we take a day and make this more spiritual and attach a spiritual significance to this day, which again is what we do in certain days and what people do with the Sabbath day as they try to keep that commandment, keep the Sabbath, keep the Sabbath holy and things like that. We're not under that Sabbath law. So that's a big problem. So whether or not you observe in memory of certain occasions or people on these days, it's your persuasion, your liberty. But there's no doctrine against calling Monday Monday or calling yesterday a day of anniversary or celebrating your wedding anniversary, anything like that. There's nothing against that in the Scripture.
I would say from the south of things, there's a celebration going on.
Oh, you mean in the country?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's a reason for having days like that. You have family reunions, yeah, and this happens. It doesn't mean the problems go away.
No.
But yeah, it does remind you know, the country of where we came from, hopefully. Fortunately, I mean, you read about the liberty that we were declaring before. You know, where is it gone? People say, God bless America. Well, why should he bless us? And has he? 53% of people think that America has a special relationship with God, according to the Christianity Today poll of a couple thousand people. And so they believe that America has a special spiritual relationship with God as a country. You know, not the people who are saved, but as a country. And this is an issue. That's a doctrinal problem, you see. So, again, it's not about, you know, America being the most free or the most religiously free, which it is in the world, the most religiously free country in the world, which is great. And, you know, we have the privilege of being in this country and should take advantage of it. But to think that our country has a spiritual advantage with God, this is an issue. God is not dealing with nations today as he did with Israel. You see, and so that our country exists as it does is a result of the people before us and us, you know, keeping it that way. It's not God's protective hand, or on the other side of the coin, God's hand of judgment that is controlling our nation's future. You know, it's the decisions of people who live in it. It's the decisions of people right now in Congress and in the government. This last week, Russia, you know, pointed the finger at America and said, "You call us godless and immoral." Because we just, the, you know, Supreme Court just said that same-sex marriage is legal. You know, so they're pointing fingers at us. Down in Brazil, there was the gay pride parades and things like that, which often include anti-Christian and obscene things and events in these gay pride parades, where they'll have pictures of people having sex on the cross and things like this. You know, this is just blasphemy. And yet it goes on in these gay pride parades. So in Brazil, which is mostly a Christian country, the congressman there, they said, we are, in Brazil, we are a Christian country, mostly Catholic. And so they passed a law banning what they called Christophobia, or Christian, the fear of Christianity. And so that you cannot have open displays of blasphemy against God, because it's one of those respect principles, is what they were saying. So it's interesting. You know, people talk about God blessing America and us being more privileged, and really the world is full of sinners, even our country. And we've got our problems. People have problems in their own countries. And we do well to remember who we are in Christ before who we are in our citizenship on earth. But here's the article I was talking about, Brazil. The intention of the bill is to protect the beliefs and objects used in religious rituals by Brazilian citizens. Now, right there, you know there's religion there, right? We don't have objects and religious rituals, but that's their intent. Because what was happening in recent years during demonstrations is what we can call Christophobia, with the practice of obscene and degrading acts which show prejudice against Catholics and evangelicals. And so this country is Christian, says Senator Magno Malta. And now here I speak in the name of millions of Brazilian Christians, Catholic Christians, spiritualists, evangelicals from throughout the country, taking a position in their name. There's a general revulsion with this nefarious, unscrupulous, and abominable attitude. You have passed the limit, is what he said. So they passed the law.
But
so
it's
interesting.
Now it drives it underground, right?
I think that's where the anti-Christian sentiment needs to be, underground, yeah, if you ask me. But yeah, that's where it would go, is in the dark rooms and in the secret places where they mock Christianity and mock God, instead of in the public square. But that's what's going on down in Brazil. So, you know, you all getting your passports and visas, I don't know. But that's what's happening down there. So it's interesting, as we have a July 4th, and it's kind of bittersweet to me, like you said. It's a time where you can remember what our country stood upon. I don't know if we're taking a united stand on that anymore. And even if you go back and think about the founding fathers and the time in which they lived, you know, it wasn't a time of gospel preaching necessarily. So you have that as well. And so what are we talking about? And we're just talking about a time in history that is unique, in that we have this experiment of freedom going on, and that's good. You know, but as far as Christian history goes and biblical history, the church is still the church and still had the same struggles and the same issues all throughout. And so the fact that George Washington, you know, never wrote down a clear testimony of the gospel for himself, you know, what do you say about that? You know, he's on the $1 bill. They wanted to make him king of America. But you don't know if he's saved or not. He believed in God, you know, certainly. But belief in God is not salvation, right? I mean, we know that. And so we just don't know. And so it's not for us to condemn that they were or not. But my point is just that it was the same situation we have today, where there are people claiming to be who are not. And there are people who have an agenda politically that is not the primary goal of the church. You know, so we need to have, as always, a voice in the church to speak the gospel, preach the gospel. So thus, the verses that I put in my email yesterday, instead of singing from sea to shining sea, America the beautiful, rather the church ought to be oriented towards preaching the gospel of grace from sea to shining sea, and this will change the country. So I think it's a worthy endeavor. That's why we're here. Any comments?